Welcome to Honey and the Hex. I'm Tatum.
And I'm Tansy.
And we're a sibling duo exploring the origins, traditions, and intersections of folklore and where they lie today.
Each episode will bring you our learnings of myths, magic, and mystery by shining a light on the past and how it's not always as distant as it seems.
Don't have a home security system? We've got you covered. Stop thieves entering your abode by chopping off the left hand of a felon, then season it, pickle it in piss, and display it at your window. In this episode, we explore the uses of the Hand of Glory, what surfaces in the gallows, and the horrors of Hagley Wood. A Hand of Glory is a human hand chopped from the body of a criminal hanging from the gallows.
The hand would be cut during a lunar eclipse and seasoned, love a bit of seasoning, with salt, zimat and nitre, and popped into a pot with peppers. I do love pickled stuff.
The hand was then pickled in urine for 13 days before drying out in the sun. Oh my, do you actually think that's where Monster Munch might have come from? Because, like, that Monster Munch is a hand, right? And it's pickled onion.
I guess not with the piss, though. But we'd hope not.
Maybe it's like, remember in like Coca-Cola, they used to actually have cocaine and Coke, but then they took it out?
Maybe.
Quite sad.
Coming for Monster Munch. It's so funny. I was so obsessed with that flaming hot Monster Munch that my boyfriend, when I was 16, nicknamed me Monster, because whenever he'd pick me up, I literally just like stank of Monster Munch.
Anyway, we're not here to delve into the folklore of Monster Munch crisps, although that would be a good episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, Monster Munch, please don't sue us for claiming that you pickle your potatoes in piss.
Well, nice tongue twister there.
Love a singing warm-up. Also now hungry and need a wee. So what do you do to make a Hand of Glory, Tates?
So after the seasoning, pickling and drying, the hand was to be nailed to an oak tree for 3 days and three nights. So 13 days pickled, a dry out, and then 3 days and nights hammered to a tree.
Honestly, I've been there.
Once the hand was ready, the fingers could be lit as candles.
There are some instructions on how to create your own Hand of Glory in an 18th century grimoire entitled Petit Albert, or en anglais, Little Albert. I quote, "Take the right or left hand of a felon who is hanging from a gibbet beside a highway, wrap it in part of a funeral pall, and wrap and squeeze it well. Then put it into an earthenware vessel with zimat, nitre, salt and long peppers, the whole time powdered. Leave it in this vessel for a fortnight, take it out and expose it to full sunlight during the dog days until it becomes quite dry. If the sun is not strong enough, put it in an oven with fern and vervain. Next, make a kind of candle from the fat of a gibbeted felon, virgin wax, sesame and pony. And use the Hand of Glory as a candlestick to hold this candle when lighted. And then those in every place into which you go, this baneful instrument shall remain motionless."
I need to own this grimoire.
100%. Like, come on, 18th century grimoire, come through. I can just picture you having like a Hand of Glory in your oven with some vervain. So Le Petit Albert was published in 1722, but there is also an account from a book published in 1823, which is on display next to a real life Hand of Glory. And guess where it is?
Okay, my guess is Victor Wynne's museum, because there's some weird stuff in there.
There is some weird shit in there. I love going in there after absinthe. You're like, is that real? Am I seeing this? It would fit in very well there. So Victor, if you're listening, go on, get yourself a Hand of Glory. Okay, but no, this isn't a place home to everyone's favourite fried fish. Whitby. Le Whitby. Le Scampi. Whitby. When I was Googling Whitby, one of, you know, when you go on Google and it's like people also asked, the suggestions was, is Whitby rough?
Oh, poor Whitby. I feel like these seaside towns, they get a hard time.
I know, but there's Whitby Abbey there where Bram Stoker took inspo for Dracula. So,
I feel like everyone says that Bram Stoker took inspo for Dracula. Like, you know, a lot of people claim such a thing.
That is very true. I think he took it from My House, to be honest. Does look like it. Anyway, back to the hand. there is a legit Hand of Glory being displayed at Whitby Museum. It's really wild because if you think of all the times you've been to the museum. So we used to go to the museum all the time. I mean, we still go to the museum all the time. But we used to go to the museum in Leicester when we were growing up, one called Newark Museum. And my favourite bit would be ancient Egypt. I can still smell like the smells of the museum. Mm. Like, yeah. Anyway.
It's such like a visceral memory, especially with smells.
Yeah. But if you think about it, that's ancient Egypt. And this Hand of Glory is from 1832, which is basically last week.
Yeah. It's very contemporary.
Yeah, so Hand of Glory, eating Monster Munch. They should honestly, I bet in a few years there'll be Monster Munch displayed in Whitby Museum as well next to the Hand of Glory after this iconic podcast episode. In the museum, the text displayed with the hand states, "It must be cut from the body of a criminal on the gibbet, pickled in salt, and then the urine of a man, woman, dog, horse, or mare. Then smoked with herbs and hay for a month, hung on an oak tree for three nights running, then laid at a crossroads, then hung on a church door for one night while the maker keeps watch in the porch. And if it be that no fear hath driven you from the porch, then the hand be won and be yours." Mm. So basically, you have to get, we have to piss on this hand, then mum has to piss on it, and then Pepe the sausage dog has to piss on it, and then my mum's horse has to piss on it, and then we put it on a church door whilst we watch it get all pickled, and then if we don't get scared away from the porch, then we have the Hand of Glory claimed to be ours.
Seems like quite an easy route then.
100%, like, I'll do one tonight.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, there are different accounts of how you make Hand of Glory. Please don't try this at home. Maybe try it at home and let us know how you get on. But maybe not a real hand.
Right. So we know how to make one, but what is it actually used for?
Okay. So as the Hand of Glory was cut from the arm of a criminal, particularly a thief, its magic should also stop all thieves in their tracks. So, I mean, I guess if you're about to steal a loaf of bread from someone's house and you saw a Hand of Glory there, you'd think twice, wouldn't you?
I don't know. It's worth it for a loaf of bread. Some bread, olive oil, balsamic. I'll take the risk.
Then you've got no hand to dip with.
Mm. I guess there's always ways to dip.
I feel like back in the day, there was always like loaves of bread on the window. So like you would be more tempted to steal a loaf of bread on the window. Do you not think that? I feel like everyone's like in like Les Mis and stuff. Like, it's like, I stole a loaf of bread.
Not Les Mis. So yeah, the magic of the hand includes theft prevention.
You use your hand to steal, so we're going to chop it off. Have you ever stolen anything?
Yes.
I used to put avocados through as bananas on the self-scanner.
I think that's so fair.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, you know, I would never steal from a friend or a small business, but when I was a teenager, and obviously we didn't get any money for anything, I couldn't really afford clothes or couldn't even afford underwear, so I would steal from very capitalist businesses. I did, yeah. And I don't feel any shame about that. I'm owning that. I did accidentally steal a cream egg the other day. I just think if you see someone stealing, they obviously need something, like, leave them alone. You don't need to be reporting it, like...
Yeah, 100%. Like, we're not Winona Ryder stealing,
I think steal from the rich. And that's where I stand.
All right, Robin Hood.
Oh my God, maybe I am Robin Hood vibes.
Robin Hood of Camden Town.
Yeah, well, living in Camden, I've had so many parcels stolen from my doorstep. So maybe I do need to get a Hand of Glory.
That's our kind of tech, 100%.
It is. There are actually many uses of the Hand of Glory and sources to back up these beliefs. David Castleton writes in The Serpent's Pen, "The Hand of Glory's darkly miraculous powers range from throwing people into unwakeable sleeps to rendering people immobile to unlocking doors, all assets highly useful for those bent on burglary."
In 1797, at the Spittal Inn, North Staymore, a Hand of Glory was used by a group of thieves with the intention of robbing the inn. The hand had been brought into the inn by a shelter-searching hag who sought warmth from the fire. She assured the keeper, after she warmed up, that she would be on her way. She was dressed in full hag attire, cloak, hood up. We know how it goes. It's me wearing Killstar. The woman took a seat by the fire and began to relax. The maid of the inn, however, was suspicious of the hag. She noted that the hag seemed to be wearing men's trousers under her skirt, And the maid pretended to fall asleep so she could keep an eye on the hack. So the innkeeper and his wife were already asleep in their beds. To the maid's horror, the hag arose, pulling the hood down, and it was a man disguised as a hag. He pulled the hand of glory from beneath his coat, lighting the fingers with the fire and proclaiming, "Let those who sleep, sleep on, and let those who are awake, stay awake." He then put the hand of glory onto a table and headed to the door to let the other thieves and accomplices into the inn to begin the theft. The maid, thinking quickly, ran to the door and locked it to prevent the thieves entering. She ran up to the owners trying to wake them, but the hand's power had taken effect and they were out cold. The thieves downstairs had started to break down the door and gain their way in. Luckily, the maid was knowledgeable about the legends surrounding the Hand of Glory and threw milk across the hand's flames. As the flames were drenched in milk, the innkeepers immediately woke and the thieves were scared away by the gunshots. The hand was kept on the display at the inn for many years afterwards. I mean, now you could just wear trousers and not be accused of being a thief and a hag and a... It's all a bit gender messy in that story, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But yeah, anyway, there's a story. I don't know if it's folklore, if it's real life. I just found it on the internet. So as with many ancient tales, the hand has found its way into popular culture.
It was in the Netflix Sabrina.
Yeah, she uses the hand to sneak into the Academy of Unseen Arts.
Yes. A lot of people actually didn't like the most recent Sabrina, but I enjoyed aspects of it.
Oh yeah, I liked
except it. From the when they just randomly kept breaking into song and they did like Purple Summer out of nowhere from Spring Awakening. Do you remember that?
Oh my god, no.
It was
really
I only
watched the first season.
But yeah, it was in that, and obviously a lot of people will know the Hand of Glory from Harry Potter.
Oh yeah.
The hand first pops up in the Chamber of Secrets when Harry accidentally flu powders himself to Nocturne Alley. Straight into Borgin and Burks, where he snoops around and the hand catches him. But I think this is actually in the deleted scenes, not actually...
Oh, yeah. No, you know it was in the deleted scenes. Look,
don't do me like that.
We were big fans.
Yeah, we, for obvious reasons, are not Harry Potter fans anymore. Yeah. But, of course, this is a big part of where we see it in popular culture.
Yeah, then Draco and Lucius walk in and they interrupt and Harry hides in the sarcophagus, jealous. Mm-hmm. But Lucius is still... the hottest character in Harry Potter and the most underrated.
Okay, if you say so. So when Draco spots the hand, Mr. Borgin, or Burks, says, "Ah, the Hand of Glory. Insert a candle and it gives light only to the holder. Best friend of thieves and plunderers. Your son has fine taste, sir." The hand then doesn't appear until the Half-Blood Prince, where Draco uses it to see through magic darkness powder. The Peruvian darkness powder that even Lumos cannot see.
Fair. So that's another interesting feature of the hand. You can see through Peruvian darkness powder. And I think you can, so like he's saying, you can, it gives light to only those who hold it.
Mm.
Lovely. The Hand of Glory is also featured in our mum's favourite film ever, The Wicker Man, it's all she plays. So the innkeeper attempts to put Sergeant Harry to sleep using a Hand of Glory. And you know that's going to be us in a few months having to watch The Wicker Man at Christmas.
Again.
Again and again and again.
Yeah.
It's not a Christmas film, Mum. I know you only see us at Christmas, but...
Yeah,
and
true.
I love The Wicker Man, but still... Take the flame inside you, burn and burn below. Okay, so where does the word come from? Hand of Glory derives from the French phrase main de gloire, translating to the Hand of Glory. Main de gloire is a corruption of mandagora, which is to say, mandrake. And where in law is the mandrake said to grow?
The gallows. The gallows. A lot of people genuinely don't realise that a mandrake is a real plant, not just this like wriggling, screaming version we see in Professor Sprout's herbology class.
And you've got a mandrake tattoo.
I do. Yeah. It's actually one of my favourites, my mandrake.
So cute. There is a fabulous journal titled The Mandrake Fiend from 1965, which I will quote from now. In this antique country of the age of faith, there flourishes a magic herb for whose possession men and women sold their souls to the devil. It has walked the earth as a goddess with the gift of love and as a frightful fiend, the familiar of witches. It brings gold and health to its possessor, but only at the price of death. This research really took me into a rabbit hole of herbs and drugs. And also, it's so funny because I borrowed our little sister's JSTOR login to read all these things because you can only I think you can only read the journals or something if you're a member of university. So like half of Tiger's things are going to be about chemical compounds and chemistry, and the other half is like witchcraft. So in the Bible, shout out, it also links mandrakes to smell and sexuality.
Mm. And there is a lot of superstition concerning the mandrake, as it literally has human features. Its roots do resemble a body.
And doesn't it actually scream?
Not exactly scream, but the human shape of the root supposedly screams as it is pulled from the ground.
But yeah, also the mandrake, it is thought to crop up under the gallows and grow in the gallows wherever the body fluids of condemned prisoners landed on the ground.
Yeah, so those fluids would literally drip down and then onto the mandrakes.
Would grow up. It was April of 1943 when four local boys, Bob Farmer, Robert Hall, Fred Payne and Thomas Willits, were out poaching or bird nesting. They had their sights set on Hagley Woods, part of the Hagley estate which was owned by Lord Cobham. Here they stumbled upon a large witch elm tree. Fascinated and assuming it would be a great place to hunt for nests, Bob Farmer decided to climb the tree to take a look. Whilst climbing, he was able to see down the hollow trunk. To his absolute horror, he could only see what looked like a human skull. Obviously, he ran down the tree and told the boys, but the boys and he were too scared to report their findings to anyone and decided to keep the discovery quiet as they had been trespassing on the land illegally. But eventually, one of the boys, so disturbed about what they had unearthed, decided to inform his parents. Here begins the mystery of who put Bella in the witch elm.
Hagley Wood, that's pretty close to where we grew up.
Yeah.
In the Midlands?
Yeah, it's in the Midlands. It's in Worcestershire, West Midlands, so not far at all. This mystery has been covered many times. It's very popular in true crime podcasts and YouTube, but there is a connection to why we are covering this, which we'll get to. It's so interesting that a case from the 40s is still so popular. So this was during the height of the Second World War.
After the report of a human skull to the police, they went to investigate further. In the hollow tree trunk, not only did they uncover the skull, but the remains of a human skeleton. Tree roots had grown through the bones. Why was this skeleton in there? Part of this lore stems from the skeleton having a missing hand.
Here we go.
When they sent the body to forensics, it was discovered that the victim was a woman of around 35 to 40, and she had been dead for around 18 months. The cause of death was due to asphyxiation, as a mound of fabric from her skirt had been lodged deep inside her mouth.
The left hand had then been buried separately and was unearthed during the search. Police began the search for her identity by looking through missing persons reports from the previous 18 months. They had a clear description of what she had been wearing, a navy striped cardigan, blue crepe sole shoes and a cloth skirt with a zip. They also had an advantage as the victim had extremely distinctive teeth with irregularities at the top and bottom jaw. They were confident that this would enable them to identify her.
They contacted every dentist in the country with images of the victim's distinctive teeth, hoping to establish her identity through dental records. But this sadly came with nothing. Alongside this, they attempted to look through all missing persons reports from the area, but nothing matched her description.
Of course, the press reported on the murder, coining it the tree murder riddle, giving it widespread coverage. But the country was in the middle of World War II, so it did begin to go quiet. Around a year later, however, graffiti began to appear all around the West Midlands. Who put Bella down the witch elm? This graffiti appeared in other variations, Who put Lou Bella down the witch elm and Hagley Wood Bella. And this has appeared sporadically across decades, even to this very day. This does keep the case extremely popular and memorable. I find that so chilling. So surely someone knew more about this case, right? The graffiti in 1944 showed this. So who was Bella or Lou Bella? This is when the police began searching for a Bella on the missing persons register. At least there was something to investigate. They had a name now. But no one actually knew if her name was really Bella or if it, but all they had was the graffiti to go from. Also, with it being a witch elm, which is known as a very magical tree, and her name Bella, similar to the deadly nightshade plant Belladonna, there began to be rumours of witchcraft and ritualistic killings.
There were many reports of witchcraft in Hagley Wood beginning in the 1940s, and covens were said to meet there. Professor Margaret Murray was an Anglo-Indian anthropologist and folklorist. She was particularly known for her witchy cult theory, and it had been claimed that Murray's was the first feminist study of the witch trials. In 1945, she proposed her belief to the Bella mystery. She proposed that the removal of the hand was similar to that of an ancient folk ritual, Hand of Glory. Although in this case, the hand had been buried nearby, making use of the hand in other ways than we've previously mentioned.
Yeah, how am I unlocking the door or seeing through my Peruvian darkness powder if my Hand of Glory is buried? Obviously, Margaret Murray's ideas thrilled the press, and many more claims of witchcraft from Hagley Wood came to light. There was also another alleged ritualistic murder of a local man, Charles Walton, who had been killed on Valentine's Day in 1945. The killer had beat Walton over the head, cut his neck open with a slash hook, and driven the prongs of a pitchfork into either side of his neck, pinning him to the ground. Sadly, Bella, if that's what her name is or was, her skull is now missing. It's gone. A spokesperson has admitted this. So this poor woman was murdered, hidden inside a tree for 18 months, with no one reporting her missing. And now we can't even keep an eye on her skull.
In May 2023, the BBC launched an appeal to museums to track down the victim's remains so a DNA analysis could be carried out. The skull was last noted to have been in Birmingham City's Police's Black Museum at their Tally Ho Training Centre. There are obviously lots of theories, and because of this time, there's always people who believe in the occult and believe in witchcraft, but it has been mentioned that at this time,
people were terrified.
Yeah, people were really, really scared of this stuff. And when the hand being missing, and then there's like these rumors, of course the papers are going to pick up on that, and there's going to be a lot of conversation around that. Obviously, the hand could have just been taken from an animal. Bones were missing, so it could have been buried by an animal. Of course, there's no actual proof that this is a ritualistic killing.
Yeah. But I mean, there are a few theories, of course. So in 2014, Steve Punt spoke about the case in a Radio 4 programme. He said that the victim had two possible identities. The first possibility was that she was a sex worker from Birmingham, as in 1944, there was a sex worker named Bella who had worked the Hagley Road area and disappeared.
And this would have some sense because the victim wouldn't have really been in that area. So would have actually been taken to the woods, not found in the woods, but taken to the woods. And that's why it's really eerie that this perpetrator, this murderer, would have known that that tree was hollow.
Yeah.
And of course, it's still very real today how sex workers are treated, and lots of sex workers do get murdered.
Yeah, exactly. There was also an alleged confession in 1953, a statement made to police in which Una Mossop stated her husband Jack had confessed to family members that he and a Dutchman had put a drunk woman in a hollow tree to teach her a lesson about heavily drinking.
Gross.
Yeah. They hoped that this would help her see the error of her ways in some way. Apparently she was really drunk and they were driving her home and she passed out and they decided to put her in a hollow tree. But look, I do not believe this theory at all. But Jack Mossop, he died in a psychiatric hospital before the Witch Elm body was discovered. So he used to have recurring nightmares of a woman staring out from a tree, which is what his wife told police. But she didn't come forward until over a decade later about her husband, and he was already dead. So I'm not sure about that theory. And there is another theory taken from an MI5 declassified file concerning Joseph Jacobs. He was the last man who was put to death in the Tower of London. It is said that the victim was his lover, a German cabaret singer and spy in training, and her name was Clara Boel. This theory was, however, debunked in 2016 when her death certificate was found, and it stated that she died in Berlin in 1942. It's just interesting. It's like men are scared that you're a spy, or like it's like they're scared that it was spies or sex workers, like all of those things concerning, like, kind of being worried about women and
terrified of women when actually women are the ones at threat.
Like all the propaganda then was like, this woman's a spy, don't let anyone get too much information from you, like all that stuff. So yeah,
spy or promiscuous or witchcraft.
We've heard it all before. Sadly, the case is still unresolved and we may never get justice for Bella, if that was even her name. But the new graffiti appears, you know, every few years. There's whole threads on Reddit. It's covered in true crime a lot. It is current. Maybe one day we will get an answer if we find her skull.
Yeah, where's the skull at?
The skull. And then, I mean, now if you Google Hand of Glory, you can buy a candle. You can buy a Hand of Glory candle. You can buy a Hand of Glory candle mold to make your own Hand of Glories.
When I was seeing these hand candles in like trendy, I'm not going to say the stores, but...
trendy millennial store.
Yeah. There's a lot of witchcraft merch. I actually didn't... I mean, this is like... we've been seeing this for years and years. Mm. Only until like the last 2 years, I've realised that that actually is a Hand of Glory.
Yeah.
So you might have a Hand of Glory right now if you bought one of those hands.
And yeah, now you know the meaning of it. I think we should honestly start our own Hand of Glory burglary alarm service. I feel like that's needed.
That is a really good idea, but quite strange capitalist idea.
We've got to do something.
I know it's hard out here.
And at least we're witches.
Yeah, true.
So at least we can use that.
And you can see the Hand of Glory used in video games, films, TV series, and also in songs and literature.
Mm-hmm. And in Marvel, it's in the comics as well. But let's honestly not go down that road again
after
that
road.
There's even evidence of Hand of Glory from like the 1500s as well. So for it to still be a thing where people are now selling these mass-produced Hands of Glory.
Life is so ridiculous.
So let us know, have you ever used a Hand of Glory? What would you use your Hand of Glory for?
What would you use a Hand of Glory for? Like, top thing.
Putting you to sleep?
Yeah. Folks, I have insomnia. And with some, I have chronic fatigue already because of my disability. And then on top of that, I can't sleep.
Every time I come to Tatum's house, I fall asleep anyway.
That's like, really nice for you.
Yeah, last night I just ate a kebab and fell asleep at 9 p.m.
And you weren't even drunk.
Literally, we hadn't had a sip.
We had a sober kebab and then Tansy fell asleep. I love it.
I'm really sorry about that. What would you use yours for then, Tates?
To put me to sleep.
What about, no, you don't need to put me to sleep.
I'm like, not doing anything for you. I'll use my Hand of Glory to help you to find things because you lose stuff all the time.
Oh my gosh, I lose everything.
Yeah.
Where's my vape? Thank you for listening. If you enjoy our podcast, please subscribe or follow on whichever platform you listen to your podcasts on.
If you want to support us, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts, and you can follow us on Instagram at @honeyinthehex.
If you have any of your own folklore stories, we would love it if you would share them with us. Until next time, Coven.